This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic banter. Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun. Dynamic banter. Honking horns and ringing bells and making good. Dynamic banter. Don't forget the history rolls. Dynamic banter.
It's recording right now.
Guys, welcome to what I call dynamic banter. Okay. Mike and I,
Dude, why did you have me move the mic like to my mouth, but yours is like a foot and a half
away? I wanted it to be able to line up with your mouth when you talk to it. And
you're always looking that way.
Saying like it's in the direction of like where my mouth ends up being.
You're like always like to the this. Left. And yours is like this. So what are we doing?
But I do this. I talk to you and then I go, hey, Mike, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
So specific. Okay. Fine.
Listen, man.
Uh-huh.
I just want everyone to hear your beautiful voice, Mike.
Turn me up.
Is that crazy?
Just turn me up in the volume.
I'm not trying to crisp you out, though. I want you to sound nice even if I got to normalize it in the timeline. Dude, so yesterday we did a dynamic banter episode, and today we're doing a dynamic banter episode.
Yeah,
and we rarely do two episodes in a week. It happens,
and this is why.
And well,
action. You'll never. Scientists are baffled by why. Here's what we found out.
but it's like. You know, imagine if we did this like every day, like we'd lose our minds and the show would suck.
Yeah.
I think it's like important for us to like build up our juice.
Yeah.
Before we come in here together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our like our mojo.
Yeah. Then we drink the juice.
And
we're able to distribute the juice to others.
Yeah.
So
our new product is called the juice.
Juice everywhere for others.
It's called the juice.
Dude, I think that when's the next time we even record after this? Because you go away.
So yeah, I'll be out next week. So it'd be the week after next.
And then that's when I'm away. Well, so this is our last episode for
this is the
a
last
month.
Episode.
You're back when? What day?
Well, Mike, I woke up one morning and I realized I'd be back on the 11th.
You're back on the 11th.
Yeah,
is that right?
That's correct.
What time on the 11th?
Well,
I leave on the
13th. Evening time.
Yeah, we must.
So what is that, Friday? So that'll be the that'll be when this one goes up.
Yeah.
This is that episode, but we'll be recording the next week's episode the day this one drops. The juice is something that we developed at DB Labs that actually really was something funny Mike and I didn't expect to discover.
Mm-hmm.
But when two funny boys get into a room, they create what we call
magic
the juice.
Juice. I'm sorry. I got so inspired. I wasn't reading the script.
Well, when Mike and I were in the room, we were arguing about what we should call it. If we should call it the magic
yes.
or the juice.
And that argument got heated fast.
It really did. At one point I said,
I'm coming.
What?
I'm coming.
At one point I said,
I'm coming.
At one point
I'm
I
coming.
Said,
I'm coming.
And you
I'm
said, coming.
I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people, I get the same feeling. I'm coming day and night.
In one point,
I'm coming. It's as satisfying to me as coming is. You know, I'm having sex with a woman and coming.
At one point, I said.
I'm coming.
Well, you know, Mike. Whatever happens, whatever happens, I know we're going to do our goddamnedest to make this show entertaining for you, the listeners, the patrons, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
And, the patron saints of boats.
The Nina, the patrons, and the Santa Maria.
The Nina, our patrons, and Santa Maria.
Sandro Santino.
Dude, remember when Christopher Columbus came to the new land on the Andrew Santino? I'm coming.
So anyway.
Do you think that was the last thing Christopher Columbus said before?
I'm coming. I think the older you get, maybe this is just me. Maybe some people can relate to this. But I feel like for me, the older I get, the more fascinated I become with things surrounding the concept of death. Not in a scary way. Let's just think about it. Trying to understand it. Trying to prepare yourself for
you
it.
You
want to
be like George Harrison at the end of that documentary.
Absolutely.
Nothing made me happier than George's family and friends talking about how happy he was to be dying.
Yeah, well, he was like ready.
Yeah, he was ready.
He was so ready.
Yeah, you want to be ready.
You can see, there's this final picture of George Harrison that I guess like, was... he's saying...
He's like,
dude. One more for the road.
George Watch Harrison's final version. Words were, sheesh.
This death is bussin', is what he said.
Death is bussin'.
Dude, so there's this final, the last picture of George Harrison was taken on a watch camera that Paul McCartney had that he like loved and took like so many stupid pictures with.
Yeah.
And it was like the first like cell phone camera kind of.
Was it, did it have film in it?
No, it was digital.
When did he die?
It was digital, dude.
Huh.
It was 1989.
Is George's face like, maybe take a break with the watch pull?
Let's see. Hang on. Let's find out.
I've had enough of your Dick Tracy ho shit.
So George Harrison died in 2001.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was like a 2 megapixel.
Yeah, it was like whatever was in the first phones, pretty much.
Right.
Like real bad megapixel digital shit.
Yeah.
And he took like a bunch of pictures with it. And one of them is the last picture of George Harrison.
How's he look? Pixelated?
Everyone who sees it says that he looks like he's at peace, like he's ready to go.
Dude, I'm sorry, man. Just imagine standing around the bed and everyone's like, our friend George Harrison, the legend George Harrison, is passing away. It's so sad. And Paul is like,
ah, oh, shit. Sorry, it's loud.
Yes, it's really sad, isn't it?
Well, I don't think they were like, let's take a picture while he's dying. I think it was like they're all hanging out as friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, it's just one of the last times they hung out.
There's like a lull in the conversation. He's like, George, have
but
you
look
seen
at this picture.
Have you seen this?
Look at how shitty it is.
Oh, it looks like a Game Boy.
Yeah, Game
picture.
Boy.
Game
yeah,
Boy
remember
Snap.
When you would print out the Game Boy camera pictures?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But people say that it looks like he's like at peace.
Yeah, it just looks like a regular
like,
old guy.
Just kind of like not scared, not like.
That's like if you went into any Catholic church.
Yeah.
It was like snap any picture
yeah,
of anyone.
Of someone just sitting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so funny that Paul McCartney had that fucking phone
George,
camera.
I'm going to have to ask you to move into the light. This thing really doesn't pick up.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like dying and uncomfortable. And he's like, could we move a lamp?
Why did we bring that up? Where did we start that conversation at?
You were saying you were coming?
Oh, I had the fascination around, like, death.
Yeah.
So, like, final pictures are really interesting to me. Like celebrities, like, last pictures are, like, you know, notable sports figures. Things like that. Like, just kind of people that, like, were famous. Like, what were their last photos and shit.
Yeah.
Like, those are kind of interesting to see.
There was a day in our last apartment where a friend was over and we were kind of just working in the same space and doing our own thing. And he was reading a bunch of people's like known last words.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of celebrities from our childhood.
Yeah.
And it was like the most depressing. And he just kept doing it. It's awful. I was like, hey, man.
Hey, maybe this
silent reading time.
Dude, for real.
I don't want to hear this anymore.
It does get like sad because you're like, damn.
Also, like, that is a good example of something that is, it's not like they tweeted that.
No.
It was just like, that's their last sad words in desperation to somebody else. And they're like, let's make a top 10 list.
Yeah.
Like, that's a loser thing to do.
That's what my final words are going to be. I can't wait till this is on.
Which one of my last words are you? Take this quiz.
My BuzzFeed. My BuzzFeed article. Dude. Yeah, you're right. Those are like real personal moments that probably shouldn't be
repeated. I wish people could still have personal
But I
stuff.
Think that's the thing. Like think about that. Like, think about, like, in general. Think about in general how, like, you know, you think about... for some reason, people do kind of want to know the last words a celebrity said. Mm-hmm. Or a famous person said. Like, what were George Washington's last words? Like, that'd be kind of interesting to find out, right?
I've just crapped my pants.
I've George just Washington. Soiledeth my pants. My pantaloons.
My teeth are regular. Why does everybody keep saying that?
Why does everyone think my teeth are wooden? It's not fair.
I've never chopped down anything in my life.
But, like, if you think about all the people who died that were, like, of some acclaim that would be interesting to hear their final words, you think about how, like, what if their final words were real dumb or, like, didn't make any sense? Like, a lot of times they don't.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's like, Mom, I'm in the backyard.
It's I like, would want that.
Whoa.
I would want that out
there. Yeah, a lot of people do that. A lot of people just, like, they're, like, back in a memory. And they're like, I'll turn on the furnace, Gerald.
Dude, did I ever tell you of the weird hallucination that I had when I was in the hospital?
No.
Dude, I was on like so many drugs when I was like down bad for my illness. And they gave me all this stuff and I zoned out and I was like,
sorry.
It needs to be like slower pace. If you're going to do anything, it needs to be slower pace or just waves.
I was
or
trying
something.
To bring back the like uplifting.
Yeah, but it's not, it doesn't fit that tone. It's just slower. Okay, let's do it. So I was walking through my old neighborhood with my grandma. And it was like sunset, dusk, perfect. And I was pushing a beach ball down the street with a hose, with like a garden
fun.
Hose.
Like a kid does.
And like not like finger over the nozzle garden hose, like the bloop of water. And I was just walking down the street with my grandma pushing this thing. And it was the most relaxing thing I've ever been. And then I came out of that. And I woke up however long after. It could have been like literally right afterwards or like 3 days later. And I was telling my parents about it. And my parents are like, have never done drugs. My dad smoked a cigarette once and threw up for a week and a half. and I'm telling them about it. And they were so like freaked out. And I just wanted to tell them how peaceful and how beautiful it was.
Whoa.
And they were just like, oh, okay. So they gave you a lot of stuff. And I was like, no, it was great. Put me back there.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I ever like not advocating for it or ever, sure, would sure. never advocate for it. Have seen so many people ruin their lives on drugs, would never say to do that. But that was the first time I like understood needle drug
why people want that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it does like our brain is so powerful. It unlocks like things that like we are not naturally meant to unlock.
Our brain can draw.
Yeah. The brain can do all sorts of things. Like if you feel like, man, I can't even whistle. It's like the brain can make you whistle.
Your brain can whistle.
Your brain
you
can whistle. Exactly. You ever hear those brain whistles? Steve died 2 days later.
How do I get it here?
These are brain whistles.
You guys smell brain whistles? Those are your last words.
Dude, they say that the brain accesses like really wonderful things and like it has this like really wonderful like you're dying
like a euphoria
thing,
yeah,
where it like releases this euphoria into your body and then also like might give you like a memory or something.
I wonder if I was that close to dying. Dude, I wonder if that's what that was. And as soon as we're about to walk into the sun, I woke up and told you this story.
Yeah, dude. And your parents are like, okay, good story.
What were you guys pushing a beach ball to? God's Open Arms?
And he was just doing this.
Yeah. We were right there.
And every time his hand came to him like that, it felt like beautiful adrenaline rushes.
Yeah, every time I would breathe out, I would get closer to God.
Yeah.
And then grandma was like, I know the way. Follow me.
Yeah.
I've been here for years.
Grandma's leading me.
Yeah. And we were about to have a sit-down dinner, and then you fucks woke me up, and now I'm fucking tethered to this bed.
Grandma was leading me, but when I looked down in her hand here, it was like rotted.
Yeah. And then I looked over to her face, and she turned into a beautiful woman, and we started making out.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was awesome. And she offered me heroin.
Heaven. Heaven win.
I'm sent from some last words. I texted.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. This is, Kevin, it's so fucking depressing, man.
No, these are funny.
These are funny.
But see, that's the thing. Like, so for me, it's like, how many people had last words that were like, I'm never going to say that that was their last words.
Oh, so they change them.
So they're like, they put something kind of profound in there. Because there's so many, like, strangely profound last words.
The answer is with it.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my God. And it's like, maybe that was their last words.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Most likely it was like, I'm fucking pooping.
Fucking not covering my poopy. Yeah.
Kissed up the poo.
Don't leave my poopy.
Oh, here comes my last poop.
I gotta renew a library card now.
I'm pooping on a celebrity.
Pooping on a celebrity. He said the answer is within.
Pooping. Actually,
40
Steve Jobs' last words were, I'm pooping on a celebrity.
He said, you know what would be good for the iPod? Pooping on a celebrity. And then Apple kind of went downhill because they tried it.
This is Carl Panzram, a serial killer. He said, hurry up, you Hoosier bastard. I could kill 10 men while you're fooling around. While they were executing him.
That's fun. I could kill 10 men while you're fooling around. While you're fucking around, I kill 10 men. This one's from Jean-Philippe.
Oh, that's good.
Remigio. What the devil do you mean, sing to me? Priest? You're out of tune.
Yeah, I guess some priest was singing hymns at his deathbed.
Yeah, you
so
can't
like,
have
what
a...
What are you out of tune? You're out of tune, you piece of shit.
Dude, having a pitchy priest at your doing your last rites?
Could you even remember, hey, Matt? Could you even remember it? Louis-Marie Therese de Saint-Maurice, Comtesse de Versailles, said, good, a woman who can fart is not dead after letting one rip.
Yeah. She was like, I got some living to do before I die.
This is good. A physicist and author, Richard Feynman, said, I'd hate to die twice. It's so boring.
Damn, that guy didn't get to walk down the street with my grandma.
No, he didn't.
Thomas J. Grasso, convicted murderer, Italian probably. I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. Whoa. I want the press to know this. Oh, that must have been a death row. Yeah, after he ate his last meal.
Oh, he doesn't
death
want
row.
People to say it was
dude,
SpaghettiOs.
Imagine asking for SpaghettiOs, maybe the easiest thing to get, and then some chef makes you spaghetti. He's like, that's not what you want.
This is not what I ask for.
I give you what you want, what do you miss before you kiss a god.
Also, is it kind of like...
super racist to give the Italian guys spaghetti.
No, not at all.
I know. What do you want to see in the nose?
I'm assuming they asked him what he wanted.
Yeah, and he said SpaghettiOs.
But if a real Italian guy is asking for SpaghettiOs as his last meal,
yeah.
Aren't you like, Maron, this guy should go to hell.
Yeah, what's the matter, you?
Oh, Maron, you don't dude, want your mama's gravy on this spaghetti?
This is how it happened. I'm the chef. And you're the inmate. Ask me for spaghetti. Okay. Yes. What do you want? Grasso, you're going to the chair. They're going to send you a bye-bye in the sky.
I'm going to meet a maker.
What do you want for your last meal?
I'm going to meet a maker, and so I want to go with a full atomic.
What do you want? Tell me what you make, and I give to you for your last meal. Grasso.
Something that's a comfort.
Mmm.
Something that I remember my mama used to bring me every day for dinner.
Your comfort, your mom?
My mama would make me a big, delicious bowl of spaghetti.
Say no more!
Perfect.
And he leaves.
And he's like,
Yes, he brings it back. It's so big. He's like, whoa, I got it. The grass. I'm like your mom.
Dude, and then he's telling, and then he's in his cell, and he's like, I hope that he making me the SpaghettiOs. If for some reason he making my mama spaghetti, I'm going to throw it up. I said, not the good spaghetti.
Cut to the kitchen. Sloshing around. This is the best spaghetti I ever made.
He dips his fingers in the sauce and does the...
Takes off his mustache, put it in...
He stirs it with his mustache.
I got a surprise in there for you, Grasso.
He takes his hat off and starts stirring it with his hat.
I stirred it around in my hat, then I put it on my head.
Oh, God. Anyway, so I was thinking how many are fake, dude?
Number 10?
That's the one I'm on. Charles Gussman, TV announcer. And now for a final word from our sponsor.
Wow, that's great. See, but how real is that?
I've never heard of this guy. Could be real. So funny. It's funny to have your wits about you during your last moments. You usually don't have that unless you get shot in a duel or something.
God, that guy said, Mommy, my tummy hurts before he died. And they were like, what are we going to... We got to get... It's got to be something good.
What was it's he? What did he do?
Yeah. Ooh, what about that's been my final broadcast? What a wonderful way for, like, everyone would love that.
What about when he used to throw to the sponsor? What if he did that one or less a time?
I've always, like, apparently Steve Jobs' last words were just like, oh, wow. He said, wow, oh, wow.
That's
which
hopeful.
Which is so cool.
So you like to leave a little bit to the imagination.
It's cool. It's like, wow, why did he?
Yeah.
Like, was he realizing this is it, and now he's saying, wow, here I go? Or was he seeing something and, like, wow, imagining, like...
What's the movie where you just hear the guy's ear getting cut off, but you don't see it?
Oh, Sopranos? You're talking about the end of the Sopranos?
No.
Reservoir Dogs.
Like, that's like that. It, like, most of it happens
here. Yeah, it happens off screen. Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Chico Marx. Is he one of the Marx?
Yeah, Chico. Chico was the handsome one.
Okay, he said, remember, honey, don't forget what I told you. Put in my coffin a deck of cards,
it's Niblick, Chico.
And a pretty blonde.
Dude.
I wonder if she did it.
Chico, sorry, I got that wrong. Chico is the one that was like an Italian for some reason.
Only Italian last
Someone months. Would go like, we're going to Dallas, Texas. And he'd go, Dallas, Texas? I don't know anything about dollars in Texas.
Yeah.
And he'd do like those things. He'd be like, oh, come on. What's the matter, you?
What's it? No Italian.
For some reason, they were Jewish brothers.
Mm-hmm. Jewish people and Italian people, not that far off. True. If I'm being honest.
But they were like, Groucho was like, oh man, and fucking Harpo didn't say a fucking word. Mm-hmm. And then Chico was like, hey, what's the matter for you? I'm Italian for some reason.
The silent one were like, you're selling out our race. Okay. You're selling out our nationalities, you piece of shit. Dude, these are all Tony Soprano says last words, mod on.
Where's my gabagoo?
Bob Hope said, surprise me. That was his his wife asked him. No, this is good. Bob Hope, comedian, when his wife asked where he wanted to be buried, he said, surprise me.
That's so funny.
That's great.
See, that might be just something he said on his deathbed, but maybe not his final words, you know what I mean?
But maybe they were.
Maybe they were. We don't know and we'll never know.
Surprise me.
Here's the thing. No one's gonna care about my final words, but if there's something really funny, I want that out there for sure.
We're gonna be podcasting. number 21, Humphrey Bogart, an actor. Frankly, Scarlett, I'm dead. Frankly, Scarlett, I'm fucking dying.
That's not
right
real.
Now.
You made that up.
No, he said, I should have never switched from scotch to martinis.
Because he wanted the harder stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
Martinis are less aggressive than whiskey.
Mice and men. I'm trying to see if there's any. Oh, Voltaire, the philosopher, after a priest asked if he wished to denounce Satan, he goes, now's not the time for making new enemies. And then he died.
That's really funny.
What a great neutral way to go to the afterlife, JIC.
Right?
Because no one knows what happens.
No?
What if it's only the devil? And he was like, I heard you talking shit.
I grew up with the thought process that, like, if you die and Jesus is in front of your face and like, ha, see, told you, you shithead, then you have an opportunity to be like, all right.
Jesus says that?
Jesus says that. He goes, see, I told you, idiot. Here I am. And I go like, all right, well, like, in Catholicism, they tell you that even if you didn't live like a really religious life, and even if you didn't believe, you can still die and then be in front of Jesus, and Jesus would be like, well, and you go like, all right, well, I guess I love you, I'm sorry, like, well, here we go. And then Jesus would be like, all right, come on in, you little scamp.
I hate to burst your bubble, but I don't think that you could die with sin on your soul.
That's
I think
true.
You don't get to go to confession real quick on the way up to
No.
That's why you always have the priest there to give you your last rites to kind of cleanse you.
But it's based on the legitimacy in your heart, not necessarily like, so like, you can't be like, this is my free pass into heaven, I can fuck around and do whatever, and then Jesus will give me one chance to be like, I'm sorry, and let me in. But the idea is that, like, if you really do have a good heart or whatever, they'll be like, well, you have a chance to repent.
Yeah. Well, you we'll know? See. They have Groucho Marx.
Oh, what did he say?
This is no way to live.
Yeah.
A lot of Italians. And they all say too much.
Italians are witty folk.
Italians are witty even to up until death.
Up until the last moment. Did you see that TikTok I sent you? I sent you some. Dude, check your messages on Twitter right now.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Ooh, Katrina Davis just came out with a new special.
Ooh.
And
shout out.
From Comedy Dynamics. And you should go see it because I love Katrina Davis very much. She's going to be on the Surrounded show this Friday. No. Last Friday at 9:45. Anyway, my messages. Oh, this says New Italian just dropped.
Yeah, so check this guy out.
Bro, you just look like a guy who needs to be on my page.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
This is,
I'm Nico.
Joe.
Nice to meet you, Joe.
Nice to meet you.
Wow, look at you. Holy shit.
Listen, the people that give me shit for riding this car, they probably don't even drive. They probably have a metro car. A lot of people break my chops. Joe, a guy like you driving a Kia Sorento, you should drive a Cadillac, Mercedes.
I mean,
this is a real guy.
No?
Take a look. This is the new 2022 Kia
Sorento.
He doesn't
look Italian.
All right?
No.
You got the 22-inch rims. All right, take a look at it. You got the bucket seats. Catches mid-color. Panoramic roof. All right?
He's so proud of his
I got a dashboard that looks like fucking NASA.
Hey, what else you got to say to the people? Anything?
Listen, I'm just your average Joe.
All right. Fair enough.
What an ending.
Isn't it amazing? He's New just York some
Nico.
Guy.
New York Nico. And he has maybe the biggest Italian horn I've ever seen in my life. Which is fucking, that's
doesn't
admirable.
He look like he's just living his best life?
Yeah, just super
he's
happy.
He's just a regular guy. Dude, I got my Kia Sorento.
Got a Kia Sorento. This is it. 20-inch rims.
Got my catches box. Bucket seats. My dashboard looks like NASA.
Dude, Italians are very proud of their stuff.
Yeah, but that guy was like, oh, why don't you drive a Cadillac, big bone? And he's like, because this is my car, baby. Look how comfortable this thing is. Yeah. Like, he doesn't care. It's a Kia.
No. Such a hack thing to have a Cadillac, to be rich Italian with a Cadillac.
I know. It's like, you know, but you know his out. Buddies are giving him shit.
Yeah, yeah. What's the matter? Go and get a Cadillac.
Here he comes. Here comes Ma and a Kia.
Hey, you got a Cadillac from Wish.com. We got Cadillac at home.
Dude.
Kia is wish Cadillac.
Man, I love that so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think about how many of those fucking last words are fucking fake.
You don't know that.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like these can't be, like, not every single one of them can be perfect.
Why? Can I ask you a question? And this is a personality thing. Why be skeptical instead of just enjoying it for what it is?
Well, see, like, I initially do. And then when I read, like, a bunch of them in a row.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, profound and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start to go, like, all right. Like,
yeah, but they didn't happen in a row.
Right,
they're
but
just
to me,
collecting the best ones.
It didn't happen in a row, but these are like celebrities, you know? Like, if they were just like, here's 100 random deathbed final words from nurses or something that heard the last words, and there's like profound and funny and sad stuff in that list.
Yeah.
Like, that list is more believable to me than like 10 super famous celebrities. Their final words were these eloquent, like, amazing things. Like, I guess in the comedian brain, in my comedy brain, I go, like, not everyone's final words is something concise. It can't be.
But you're already not talking about everyone.
Right, right.
So your comedy brain should be able to be like, if anyone was able to compile a list like this, it would be, like, philosophers and comedians. Like, if a comedian is surrounded by their friends and family...
Oh, then they're going to say something to make them laugh. Yeah. Yeah.
Or an Italian. Any random Italian.
But by that same token, there might be ones where they're like, I'm pooping, and then they die.
Yeah, there might be. They're like, not on the... They didn't make it.
Right, but like, but they might... Like, how funny would it be if someone in that room was like, the newspaper wants to know what his last words were.
It's very funny. It's a very funny thing.
Like, I'd love to like, find out, like, if there were some real ones that were, like, not, that were, like, embarrassing and bad.
Yeah.
But instead they put out, like, a profound thing.
That whole Elvis story isn't enough to fill that quota for
Dude,
you.
Not enough. I need more.
I'm pooping.
I just like to know, I'd like to know that, like...
I would just be... Here's where I'm coming from. If I said one of those things and I am in heaven and now I could watch whatever I want at any time and I'm like, listening to this podcast, like, you probably said I'm pooping and then you're out. You're like, motherfucker, that was my last words on this planet. And you're disrespecting that.
See, and that's the difference between us, because if it was me in heaven watching someone do that, I'd be like, that's kind of funny, actually. It's funny to think someone thinks my last words were I'm pooping my pants, mommy.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you to the sponsors. Thank you to HeadGum. Thank you, Kevin.
How do we get custom whatever this music is for us so we don't have to use anybody else's?
Dude, this is like, it's royalty for you.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man.
This doesn't, like, whoever owned this is dead. And then whoever owned it after they owned it is dead.
There's a difference between... royalty free and like public domain, and then there are rules against, like, if we repurpose it and put out records of our stuff until we're 70 years old, we'd like to have our own
think that, like, even in today's, like, technological standards, they've tried to, like, recreate this kind of sound.
Yeah.
And I think the only people that have done it successfully are the Cuphead folks.
That's such a fucking... Okay.
You know the game Cuphead?
Yeah, and I know exactly what you're saying.
They made new music like this.
Right.
And it sounds fucking perfect.
But to say, like, the people who made that game are the only people
that
that you've heard.
Yeah.
That's such an important piece of information.
Well, what do you think? I speak for everyone in the world?
Yes, you do all the time.
I never... Hold on. I may have said this in the past. Uh-huh. Maybe I don't say it enough.
Yeah.
But anything I say is me. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no world where I'm like, I know what everyone's thinking. That's insane.
That's important information.
I mean, let me say it again.
Because I think if you were to go back a couple seconds, you would feel a similar...
Yeah, yeah. But I speak in hyperbole because I'm a big weirdo.
Yeah.
And everything I say is like a million times more hyperbole than what I said initially.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I'm
embellishing with comedy and jokes.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, like, no, I'm not saying it's the only one in the world and you can't prove it otherwise, because if I think more about it, the Postmodern Jukebox.
What's that?
Those guys are awesome.
So
Bradley,
let's call them and be like, make us fucking 30 minutes of this music so it could be our music.
We could.
And then there won't be some random person saying whatever. It'd be like, buttercream farms. Like, every now and again.
Yeah.
And it'll be like custom old-time music.
I think it'd be cool. I just would be really picky about it. I'd be like, if it doesn't sound like it's really from this time, I don't want it.
Well, maybe we can call Cuphead and his sister.
Let's call Cuphead. about scissors. All right, well, fuck it. Let's get, so then by that token, let's play the music that we did actually pay for.
Yeah.
From Neil Gosch.
Neil Gosch, comedian Neil Gosch from New York City.
The Gosch.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
We can give them to him. We got them.
People want
them. Can't find Neil Gosch.
Because he made them for us, right?
On the, yeah, these songs are custom made.
These are Dynamic Banter
exclusives.
Exclusives.
But he's on fucking Instagram. He's a comedian. He has all of his shit. G.
Got it.
And then Osh.
Osh. Niladri Gosch. It's Neil, N-E-E-L, dot G-H-O-S-H, Neil Gosch.
Like gosh, but with an H in the beginning.
Gosh.
Like, oh, gosh.
Gosh, gosh, bagosh.
Like you're saying gosh like a German person. Oh, gosh.
No, gosh is, gosh, the O would be before the G. The O would be before the H, I think.
Oh, is it G-O-H-S-H?
No, this is G-H-O.
G-H-O. Yeah, I'm just saying take out that O-H in the beginning and you got gosh.
Uh-huh. But if you want to find Neil, you're going to want to leave all the H's in.
Leave all of the H's in.
Leave off the last H for saving.
And I love that is I love that it's like the most like interesting spelling of Neil, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's like... I don't know what nationality he is, and if you say the wrong one, you're racist.
You're in trouble, yeah. Someone will find
He ain't Italian, I'll tell you that.
I'm just a regular guy.
What if I called him up and was like, hey, Neil, what are you? He gives us the answer and I hang up.
HelloFresh. I'm hungry, and I'm hungry, and when I'm born hungry,
uh-huh.
All I want is to have food shoved into my open, moist mouth.
How often are you born hungry?
Everyone, I think. Every day. Every day babies are born hungry. And
you hate to hear it.
And HelloFresh gives you farm, fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes that are delivered right to your doorstep. You can skip the trip to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit.
You think there are babies that come out and they're not hungry?
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm good. Like, no, please, suck my tits.
I just ate.
No, I'm good.
I ate like 5 minutes before I came out.
What? You knew we were doing
this. I just ate.
You said kind of weird of you to do that.
He texted me, eat. I'll tell you, HelloFresh's quick and easy recipes, the 20-minute meals, and low-prep, low-cleanup options provide an even faster route to putting food on the table around your packed schedule. And now you can enjoy more variety than ever before with Hello Custom!
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 That's how excited I'm you'll excited be when you get your Hello Fresh.
You can swap out one protein or side for another with Hello Custom. Upgrade for a more luxe experience, or even add protein to a veggie meal. That means more choices, more variety, and more meals truly tailored to you and your family. Guys, I've never found it more easy to make something that feels like it was made in a restaurant or by someone that knows what they're doing.
It does give you confidence, like you could cook.
Absolutely.
They give you all the pre-measured ingredients. They tell you exactly what to do with it. They give you a big sheet of paper that looks like a menu from a fast food restaurant. So you follow these six pictures, and then you'll cook yourself a restaurant-style meal.
And everyone's going to be happy about it, even Dad.
And you know how hard it is to get dad happy.
So
when you fart, when you play Mousetrap.
So guys, go to HelloFresh.com/banter16 and use that code banter16 to get 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. That's right.
Did they tell you what the three free grips
are? No. Okay. It's a surprise.
Jackpot.
So, banter, HelloFresh.com/banter16. Use the code BANTER16. Get 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. That's 16, 7, and 3. So go to HelloFresh.com/banter16. Thank you, HelloFresh!
You do it.
Rish! From cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant. Inflation is hitting us all where it counts. I'm running out of time, and it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone that buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, you earn that cash back thanks to Upside. And look, guys, to get started, you just download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play, and you use that promo code BANTER, and you get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. It's been. And I'll tell you.
Please.
I don't give a fuck, Becca, dude. Tell someone else. To get started, you just download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play. Use that promo code BANTER and you'll get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, you claim that offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at business. At the business, pay as usual with a credit card or debit card and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. And you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. It's real fun, real good. And Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8-star rating on the App Store. So,
please
download the free Upside app and use the promo code BANTER to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. I'm telling you right now.
This is a serious message.
That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more.
I'm warning you.
To use the promo code BANTER.
I'm warning you.
That you'll get $10 off.
I'm warning you.
That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code BANTER.
I'm warning you.
It's free.
I'm warning you with no more fan mail.
Thank you, Upside.
Oh, man.
And last but certainly not least, my goodness gracious. Look, your time is valuable. Your time is money. Your time is worth something. And how important is it to find a more efficient way of doing things? When you're running a small business, every second counts.
Jackpot.
You can't afford to waste a single moment. So why are you still taking time out of your day to go to the post office? Explain yourself!
I never...
That's what I thought.
You could be going to Stamps.com instead.
Jackpot.
That's right. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping quick, easy, and cost-effective.
Peace and love.
That's right. Stamps.com saves you time, money, and stress.
Stop it!
That's right. I say that to Stress all the time. I say, hey, Stress!
Stop it! Let me do my show!
That's what I say to Stress. I say, let me do my show. And then I I'll tell you, for more than 20 years, Stamps.com has made it has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. And it gives you access to all the post office and UPS shipping services you need right from your computer. And you may be asking yourself, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Uh-huh, buddy. But I'll tell you, you can get discounts you can't find anywhere else, like up to 30% off USPS rates and 86% off UPS.
Don't be ridiculous.
No, I'm serious. That's right. So streamline your shipping process with Stamps.com's easy-to-use software. All you need is your regular computer and a printer. No special supplies or equipment. You're up and running in minutes. Printing official posters for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send. Plus, Stamps.com seamlessly works with Shopify, Amazon, Etsy, eBay, and more. Shut your mouth. So, whether you're in an office sending invoices, an Etsy shop sending your products, or...
Dude, I miss it.
What happened to our...
I miss it. Or
a warehouse shipping out orders. Stamps.com is your mailing and shipping solution.
I don't.
So sign up. Why don't you stop wasting time? And start saving money. Stamps.com? No, but I have, and you will. Yes. And you sign up with that promo code BANTER for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and...
history.
A digital scale.
We gotta find some other way to make rent this month.
So...
please.
Go to stamps.com.
Please.
Click the microphone at the top of the page and...
please.
Enter the code BANTER. That's stamps.com.
Peace
and... and just click on the microphone.
I'm warning you.
At the top of the page and enter the code BANTER.
This is a serious message to...
that's right. Stamps.com. Click the microphone at the top of the page. Enter code BANTER. Save you money. Save you time. Check out stamps.com.
Peace and love.
Kevin's into it. Kevin is into it.
Kevin, you like that? Kevin's not hungry anymore. Kevin ate a good meal a second ago. What the fuck?
Machi.
Should we just jump into History Roads?
Yes.
Maybe we could do two or four?
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. That's a great idea, Mike.
Thanks, bud.
Simply having a wonderful
Halloween
time. Simply having a wonderful
Halloween
time. Trying to get your friend to listen to the show.
this is the first episode. They said they're doing something called History Road, and then they're playing a song about Halloween. What the fuck?
Why do you like this? Why are you like this?
Does this make your head okay? Does this calm you down? They're playing horns and farts during the act.
I told you I was having a rough week.
You said this would cheer me up, and it just gave me anxiety.
It's like they're falling the whole time.
And you know what, Creighton? This show ain't for you. So fuck off!
God, I'm sick of Creighton sick and its Creighton. Attitude.
Creighton's bullshit.
I'm sick of Creighton's bird bullshit attitude.
We got something from David here saying it's extremely short and Kevin, not your Kevin, bungled it.
Still looking at it no matter what.
Hey, baby boys, I'll keep it short. On episode 319, Pooping Underwear, you ended the show by calling Kevin the one who makes beer. And Steve said, to me, beer tastes like rusty water. The only appropriate response should have been, Rusty Water is my favorite NASCAR driver. Thanks, boys, your pal, David.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I don't not like it. I don't know if it's the only response. Steve drinks bubbly water to burp.
Bella says factor 75 plus X B minus 120 equals simplicity. Hi, kids. I'm a lover of the human speak and a hater of math equations, just like you two boys. Now, just like CEO of Factor 75, I believe in the power of simplicity and the good that simplicity can do for our Earth. And that simplicity can do simplicity for customers and our Earth. Good.
Huh.
I'm in.
I literally have never thought about that before. not like that. But when you say it like that, it really does make me think a lot.
I believe in the power of simplicity and the good that simplicity can do for our Earth. And that simplicity can do simplicity for customers and our Earth.
Jackpot. 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 I'm talking about two.
Jackpot. I don't give a fuck back to you. Tell someone else.
Jackpot.
I don't give a fuck back to you. Tell someone else.
Ozzy, bring us home. We're in the studio. Go do what you do.
Do what you do, Ozzy. But because of the simplicity and the segment for Factor 75 on the last episode, my devices.
Jackpot.
My devices have heard you say it, oh, I don't know, 72 times. And I'd like to inform you, their ads are just as confusing as the name. The only name I saw featured in these ads was Factor 120 and no mention of the 75 part. Do with that information as you will, but just remember to you and the fellas listening at home, Factor 75 123 S not good. Night night, Bella from the California General area.
California this... Generals is my favorite problematic soul.
It's like a football team!
Fuck. Oh. I don't know, man.
The product is fine. product is good.
Yeah. It's a
friends
good,
of mine like it.
They're doing a good thing.
They're doing a good thing. They're making a good thing.
And they could only, they could put up less boundaries in between people and eating meals.
Duh.
Bang.
Brandon bang. Says a quick bathtub pooping story.
Okay. As long as it's a quick one.
Jackpot.
Jackpot.
Hello, Hornborn boys. My name's Brandon. Long time, first time. I'm from Utah. I'm a Hornborn boy.
Let's go.
After listening to episode 319, Pooping Underwater, and hearing you guys talk about pooping in the tub, I had to send this story of when I pooped in the bathtub.
I was 36.
I decided to give it a shot.
I got three breakfasts that day.
Man, me and my brother were real leal. Our parents would have us take baths together to save water.
I don't know. I don't know.
I know. I
don't.
There was. There's a few. There's a few. There's a few.
But. But right now?
But right now!
I don't know.
It's...
I've never seen that happen
before. I know, I really thought...
I don't know. We got a few choices, and most of them are bad.
You need to...
No. Not that one. Not that one.
Everything was going swimmingly when my toddler body... decided it needed to fire out a brown right then and there.
It didn't sound like it was underwater. It sounds like you stood up fast. There we go. There it is. That's a water, that's a tub birth.
Just before, and I didn't know what to do. So in a panic, I told my brother to get out of the bath. At first, he didn't understand why. I screamed and pleaded with him to get out.
Get out of the bath!
And that scared him enough to hop out. Get out of the bath! Tommy, get out! Tommy, please! For the love of God, if you love me, get out! Tommy, get out of the bath!
And he never saw his brother again.
He got sucked into the tub.
His brother ran to a different family.
He ran out the door in the nude and they never saw him again.
Tommy ran into space. There he goes. And they never saw him again. Oh no, well. I guess that that puts an end to this.
Tom!
It's the power of simplicity.
He hopped out of the tub just before I set sail to a little brown boat. I wish I had a boom.
Dude, did you ever have, I think it was a cereal toy.
Yeah!
A toy from the cereal box. It's a little submarine. And you put baking soda in it. Yeah. Man, that was cool as fuck. Thank you for that.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, what a memory unlock.
So it was like a...
It was like cereal. So you'd put baking soda in it, and what it would do is you'd put it in the water, and it would like dive.
Yeah. And then it would come up.
And then it would come back up.
Yeah. It was really fun.
It was like a submarine. Like a
we were very, like,
dude,
easily amused. Because we weren't, like...
Spoons?
Yeah, sometimes you had spoons.
Like color-changing spoons?
Yeah.
Not color-changing spoons?
They weren't that good.
You were lucky if they're color-changing.
Huh, what a bummer.
I remember one cereal was, like, Indiana Jones. It had, like, an Indiana Jones spoon.
That's fun. We used to get, like, Kix would give you color-changing spoons.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be on the commercial. Then we would all flip out.
So
smart putting a stupid toy in kids' cereal.
This is before the internet, so we were, like, real stoked.
Yeah. Remember when Corn Pops just used to put batteries in it?
Yeah. And we'd be like, 9 volts! And some screws!
A needle!
Mommy! Screws!
vodka.
She hurt.
Mommy, it's three screws in my cornflakes.
Mommy, screw.
And my mom would be like, well, mijo, that's because they come from a factory. You learn a lot.
Yeah, crack a couple eggs to make a cereal.
My dad, hearing the commotion, came in to check on us, saw what had happened, and came back with a cup to fish it out. Fish his poop out.
You need to fill it.
Even to this day, I don't know why I did that. The toilet was right there.
Two, three, four.
Shout out to the following: Derek, Cooper, Sammy's chin, Sean's nose, and last but certainly not least, retractable banners, retractable banners. Thanks, babies, and you can call me about it. Definitely not.
I think we have all the information.
We got everything we need out of that one, Brandon. All right, Brandon, you just sit back and be a listener today, okay? Sarah!
Danielle Lish?
Like D-Lish? Cursed plane airplane experience. Uh-oh.
Dude, you know what I was thinking of yesterday?
What?
Has anyone ever said what a fun plane ride that was?
Which
has
one?
Anyone ever got off
I
a commercial
know.
Flight?
Been like, that was like, such a great...
I just had the best time.
Okay, actually,
uh-huh.
There was one flight. It was super short. It was like 40 minutes or something.
To like Las Vegas or something.
It was like somewhere in between like Denver and like, I don't know, whatever. I forgot where it was. But we got on the plane and suddenly the flight attendants were passing out these like papers. I was like, that is weird. Don't they do this at the end of the flight? The thing where they're like, sign up for the fucking Air Miles Club or
sure,
whatever.
Yeah.
Get a free pen.
Towel.
A free towel. And so they handed the paper and I looked at it and it said, this is Captain Lou's, like, Captain Lou Albano's last.
This is what I
he,
just,
he looks from behind the, like, he looks from behind,
yeah.
You know, like, from the air, from the pilot seat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can see him in the...
Put on your seatbelt or I'll come elbow drop you.
And remember, if we fly, if you're bad and you do drugs, you're gonna go to hell and then die. Remember when he said that shit?
Yes.
That's the most terrifying shit I've ever heard.
He was always wasted.
You'll go to
spot.
Hell and then you'll die.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's like an old Italian grandmother thing.
Right?
To say. It's before like, you die, you're gonna see my face.
And it's like, holy shit, that's
yeah.
scary.
Yeah.
You see in my face with the flame all around. My skin melting off like a mozzarella. Dude, so, so it said this is Captain Lou's, like, last flight.
Mm-hmm.
He's retiring. And his whole family is on the plane
aww.
To wish him his last flight, to, like, be there for his last flight.
Yeah.
And his daughter, who is, like, the head flight attendant, she's here. She, like, specially requested this flight to be, like, just so that she could be with her dad.
She could
on
fuck his
last,
best friend in the bathroom.
And fuck his best friend in the bathroom. And, dude, it was such... And, like, the whole time, like, the flight, the pilot was coming on the thing going, like, well, I started in, like, 1970 this or whatever. And then we're all like, oh,
you
the
know there's one
thing.
Guy in the back of the plane, like,
fuck this guy. I'm trying to sleep. I'm trying to watch.
Do you have... Can I have two headphones?
I'm watching The View. There's no subtitles.
I can hear Baba Fortas.
Dude, so... But it was just a really cute.
Yeah, that's great.
Flight experience, and then we landed, and everyone clapped, and
yeah.
like. And dude, right? Like, dude, but I couldn't. You know my brain, dude. I couldn't help but be like, this motherfucker's gonna crash the whole plane.
This is the last one.
His family, like, he hates his family.
Yeah, you sure my whole family's on this flight?
And
everybody
like,
checked in.
He sends an email like
even
months
Durbo?
Earlier. I think the. Whole family should be there.
Especially my bitch sister.
I mean, I guess I'll take bitch out. But like I was thinking,
what
if he hates
for?
His family? Well, it just had like his picture on it and it had like his name obituary. At the top. And it was almost, but it was like a nice paper.
Living obituary.
Like they made it for him.
Yeah.
Like they were like, wouldn't it be nice if we just passed out your story to everyone on the plane? And so it was like his little story, and then like what he's like, it says like his whole family's been in the airline business forever and blah, 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 blah.
Dude, here's the guy in the back of the plane. Hand me, you're the stewardess. Okay, hand me a piece of paper.
And did you know it's cat? Excuse me, sir. Can you please put your seat up before we fly? Thank you so much. It's just for takeoff. And it's actually Captain Lou's last. Okay.
Immediately puts his
eyes are closed and he puts it back right away.
He puts it up to get the paper, puts it away. Scotch.
I mean, maybe that's an easy guy to deal with, because you know he's not going to say a word to you.
He just wants to sleep.
He just wants sleep and a little scotch.
Anything else.
He wants a little scotch.
Whether that's that pilot's first day, last day, anything in between. That guy doesn't care about that pilot.
I got like such a kick out of it though. And when we were getting off the plane, the captain was there and he was like shaking everyone's hands.
Yeah.
And I shook his hand. I was like, dude, you're such a bad pilot.
Hey, bumpiest flight I've ever been on.
I hated this flight.
You call that a landing? Anyway, happy retirement.
It actually was kind of a bumpy landing.
The nerd, the Jimmy's.
And he was like, unfortunately, the end of this flight's going to be a little bumpy. There's nothing I can do about it. But, you know, I've been doing this for 50 years.
You guys won't remember.
Exactly. No one will remember. Yeah.
Why did he say that 20 minutes into the flight?
Why did he say no one would remember? And it sounded like he was crying. Oh, Danielle says, hello, Michael and Steven. I've got a cursed plane experience. Uh-oh. I'm Danielle, a two-born bonk lady. Long-time listener, short-statured person. Okay, maybe that's important. I travel a lot due to my boyfriend and I being long distance. And recently had the weirdest experience to date. I was on a 10 a.m. flight to Quebec City to Toronto. I had sat down in my little window seat and settled in with my AirPods to start taking a nap. It was a three-seat row, but no one was sitting in the middle seat at the time.
That's a dream.
Wonderful.
For everybody.
It was looking like the middle seat would be left vacant until a woman comes up the aisle to claim the center seat in our row.
Oh, that reminds me. I gotta tell you something.
Okay. As she sat down, I immediately was hit with the most pungent baby powder scent I've ever smelled.
Damn.
It was like she showered in it right before getting on the plane. She had red hair with chunky blonde highlights. And chunky is capitalized. Ew. What do you think that means?
Chunky, say it again?
She had red hair with chunky blonde highlights. What does that mean?
Oh, that means like chunks of blonde. It's not like balayage, like nicely blended through. It's like red and then like blonde.
Just chunk.
Blonde. Like big. Like,
does it look
if you were
good?
To take a paintbrush, it'd be like blonde.
Probably doesn't look good.
It's not in the way that I'm picturing it. It's not, but who knows?
She sat down and started shoving, I don't even know how many bags, under the seat in front of her. Everything was fine, except for the baby powder smell at first, until I looked over and saw what looked to be a taxidermy chicken vulture thing sticking out of the bag. It was terrifying. What the fuck? I have no idea how TSA let that bad boy through. Probably one of the only times I genuinely thought the plane might go down from the sheer negative energy this thing was giving off.
Because of the curse, like the cursed monkey's paw.
It was like a chicken looking at you, like a chicken vulture.
Yeah, halfway through the flight, it's like.
Yeah, it just like. Yeah.
yeah, Yikes.
To add to the whole scene, after we are in flying altitude, she moves the vulture thing close enough for it to touch my leg.
Next thing you know, I turned into a chicken.
So she can get a can of Diet Coke and a massive bag of Twizzlers out of her bag. Hell yeah. She downs both the Coke and Twizzlers in about 10 minutes flat before falling back to sleep. A picture of the cursed object is attached. Feel free to call me, I guess, if you'd like other wild stories or more information about the cursed vulture lady. Don't take vultures on planes.
Yeah, that's good advice. I'm surprised they don't have like a like one of the seat back brochures that say that specifically.
Right, like in the seat back it says, please do not bring dead vultures.
No, don't vape in the bathroom. Dude. And also don't have a dead vulture. Oh, what did she take a picture?
Fuck.
Let me see. Oh God, dude.
That's like voodoo nightmare.
It's disgusting.
It's like looking. Some ceremony is happening.
And it's so lovingly between her legs, like it's a puppy.
Yeah, like it's her dog.
Like when people have those really expensive bags, but there's a dog in it.
Yeah.
Yikes. Doesn't look good. That eye is that fucking... eye. Looks like a Easter Bunny eye.
It looks less like a taxidermy thing and more like an art. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, the skin is not present on the face.
No. No. The artist is not present on the face.
The artist is not present. All right. Well, guys.
Hold on. I have.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the story of my flight back.
Yeah.
From, I had to catch a connection. I had very little time to catch a connection between Denver and Los Angeles. Okay. And I already told the story a couple weeks ago on the other podcast, but I haven't done it like this. Okay. I'm going to let the computer do it.
All right. Let's hear it.
Woman on my flight almost died. Doctor on board saved her life. We land with 10 minutes for mine to make my connection. Gotta wait for EMTs to get almost dead lady off the flight. I run to Terminal B train to Terminal B car shuts in my face. Oh no. I get to the gate and it's empty aside from one guy waiting for a standby seat. I get on before him with no remorse, sit down, sweating, and thank the guy next to me for saving a seat for me.
That was the part I immediately thought of. Seat. I have to tell you that story.
Did you really say
They're
that?
They're all like so ready to go on the flight. I get on and everyone is seated already, like fucking waited to go.
Maybe they.
I get on, they all look at me like, oh, this is the asshole we're waiting for. But a woman almost died on my flight, and that almost
Were you like
that
pouring
made us late.
Sweat?
Yeah,
because
I ran, missed the train, by literally was like cartoon, missed the train
no,
like this.
Fuck.
Train goes off. I wait 5 more minutes. Keep in mind, before I deboarded from Montreal, my flight was already like fully boarded. So they're waiting like 15 minutes for one last person. I finally get on. Yeah. I get to the one open seat on the plane and I'm like,
yeah.
And I turn to this kid and his girlfriend and they're both like probably 21, 22, like beautiful people. And I was like, thank you so much. You didn't have to say this. And he was like, not even in the realm of like expecting anyone to say anything. So all he could say was like, yeah, no problem.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't
like he
ready
had
for
any
a joke.
Choice.
Yeah, he wasn't ready.
No problem, bud.
He didn't understand you were joking.
No, he said one of those good, like, that's you know when so you don't funny. Talk all day and then someone says
hi
at Whole Foods?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I just need to make a human response. Yeah.
Good time now.
Yeah, me too. You too.
Those are his last words. It's a good take, good time now.
I'm dead. Just too much water, baby. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. What happened to the woman, do you know? Like, what was happening on the plane?
So it was happening behind me, and a bunch of people were, like, up and turned around the whole time, which I thought was kind of rude.
Yeah, because they all looky-loos.
So I, out of protest, was like...
You never looked.
Yeah, because you're going through some shit. You're probably going to want some privacy. But then I overheard someone say allergic reaction or something. But she was, like, older, so everyone poor felt thing. Very bad. They gave her, like, oxygen.
Did she just pass out or something? Or
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that she probably, like, couldn't breathe. Wow. And she was having some kind of...
Maybe a panic attack
yeah.
or something.
But there were, like, 3 or 4 doctors on board.
Oh, wow.
That were, like,
fucking lucky
her.
For her.
Yeah.
Damn.
And even more fucking... Just typical LA rubberneck pieces of shit. We're like, what's happening now?
I like that you can't blame the person who's sick.
No.
Or dying.
Mm-mm.
Like, if it were you, you'd want everything possible to help you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, that means maybe other people are going to have to wait for whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that's so sad. I bet she felt bad probably too.
She probably felt embarrassed. Yeah, embarrassed. And she doesn't have to because it's her body. Who knows, you know? Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the flight that I was on where they had to make an emergency landing because some hippie was like having a bad trip?
No way.
And that's when I was like, dude, I've seen them land a plane. They call it like a heavy landing because the plane is filled up with gas.
Yeah.
And if you hit wrong, it's bad. Oh, because of the pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because of the pressure, because like there's literally like, it's not supposed to be filled with gasoline when you land, you know?
Right.
So we took off and some kid was like, I gotta get off. Like some white kid with dreadlocks was like, I gotta get out of here.
No way.
And they were like, are you fucking sure? This happened right in front of me. And they were like, are you sure? Because we have to land and you have to inconvenience all these people. And like, no, yeah, the world is collapsing. And then he got his backpack and just like walked off. And I was like, that's a fucking piece of shit right there. This was the opposite of that. This was like a lady who was like, please just let me have air.
Dude, I would have been like, let me knock him out.
Yeah.
Like,
just, can I get off and on? But that, I can't believe that someone would do that because of like drugs. To the rest of the plane.
I mean,
so don't do drugs.
Yeah, those people don't really care. But man, that sucks.
Yeah. Wow. But I did feel very bad for that lady.
Well, you know, let's hear your plane stories, because fuck it, that's fun. We haven't done that in a while, maybe, or ever.
Yeah.
Do you got weird plane stories? Someone ruining your experience or something weird happening?
I heard a very comforting thing about turbulence the other day.
What was that?
It's like one, no flight has ever gone down because of turbulence. And then a flight attendant was talking to me about how there is pressure underneath the plane as well as pressure above. So it's not really like we could drop at any moment. It's kind of like you're being held in jello by both of these pressures.
Oh.
And it does, even if it's not true at all, it does kind of put you at ease when you're when it's bumping.
Because it's like, it feels like it's like kind of protecting you in the air.
Yeah, a little bit. Like it's keeping
you in that stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is just kind of like a stream you're flowing with, too, sometimes.
It's like that Fortnite thing.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. What a fun game.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. What a fun time. We hope you had a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. If you're around the New York area on September 27th, come see the Surrounded Show at the Stand at 10 p.m. We're also going to be doing one in Connecticut later that week. I don't think we have a date. And if I do, it's just not in my calendar yet. And I apologize for that. But we both have a couple weeks off. So I'll see you when you come back. We'll do another show. And then I'll go away and we'll do another show. But this was very nice. Thank you to the sponsors. Thank you to HeadGum. Thank you to the whole team. Kevin, Lima, Devrin. Couldn't do it without Devrin.
Devrin's killing it. Devrin's putting in a lot of time.
Yeah.
Scream. Thanks to Scream.
Yeah.
What a cool dude.
Big shout to Scream.
Big shout it out. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time on the show, okay? Huh? What?
That was a HeadGum podcast.